ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா. சோ டுடே வில் பி டிஸ்கசிங் நவ் ஆன் திஸ் டாபிக் ஆஃப் பவர் ஆஃப் ஹேபிட்ஸ். சோ ஆல் ஆஃப் அஸ் நோ டு சம் எக்ஸ்டென்ட் ஹவு இம்பார்ட்டன்ட் ஹேபிட்ஸ் ஆர் டு அவர் லைஃப். வாட் எக்ஸாக்ட்லி இஸ் அ ஹேபிட்? We have a choice. You know, either we can have good habits or bad habits. And the important thing from this quote to understand is that actually we become subordinate to our habits. Our habits actually govern us. They make us behave in particular ways. So what is a habit? There are two levels of understanding. One is a particular pattern of behavior that we do repeatedly. However, habits go deeper. It's not just a pattern of behavior, but it's also a pattern of thought. So once there was a football team which had gone for the finals to another state, and the final was supposed to be the next day, and the goalkeeper got injured and they didn't have any goalkeeper. So they're alarmed. The skipper of the team was just going from the nets where the goalkeeper had got injured back to the hotel where they were staying, wondering who will be the goalkeeper tomorrow. And as they were going along, he saw that there was a fruit vendor. There was a big watermelon shop was there. So he saw that there's a truck which had brought watermelon, and the person who had brought the watermelon, he was throwing the watermelon. And he's expertly catching. As they were being thrown, some watermelon was coming here, is catching. Some was coming here, is catching. Some was here. Expertly catching. He will be a goalkeeper, he thought. So immediately got down and he told him, "Yes, I am the captain of this team. Can you be our goalkeeper tomorrow?" He said, "Me? I never played football. How can I be a goalkeeper?" He said, No. Whatever you are doing throughout your life, you have to do the same thing. You are catching melons, you just keep catching melons." So, all of you know the story? Okay. So, then what happened? The next morning, when the match started, the captain was still in anxiety. He thought that, I don't know what will happen. So, I will not let the opponent reach to the goalkeeper only. So, they had their defenders who were very expert. But, towards the end of the match, somehow, one of the attackers from the other side, he penetrated through the defenses. And then he was in front, and the goalkeeper was right between him and the goal. And he kicked. And the skipper was watching with anxiety. And everybody was watching. And the fruit vendor jumped expertly into the air and caught the ball. And everybody heaved a sigh of relief. And the captain, as he just closed his eye of relief, he suddenly heard a cry of anguish. "Oh no!" And he wondered what happened. He opened his eyes and he saw that goalkeeper had caught the ball and then put it in the net. Why? Because that's what he was doing with his melon. He was catching it and then putting it inside his shop. So like that, he caught the ball but then put it inside the goal. So that is how habits work. You know, habits, they govern us often at a subconscious level. Now, every one of us wants to do wonderful things in life. We have some talents, we want to use those talents to achieve great things. So, the success and the happiness that we achieve in life is like the fruit of a tree. And for the fruit of a tree to fructify, we have to put a seed. The seed is our hard work. But, the seed, if I put the seed in the ground like this, will it grow? No matter how much hard work I do, the seed cannot grow into fruit. So our hard work is like the seed, and our success and happiness is like the fruit. But the ground in which the seed has to be sown is our habit, is the kind of habits that we have. We may even work very hard, but if we don't have self-discipline, we don't have proper habits, then our minds will sabotage us. You know sabotage? Sabotage means that damage, destroy in an underhand way. So like that, we may come to the pinnacle of success and our minds will destroy us. Some of you may be aware about how in the last World Cup, you know, the French captain was there and the Italian defender was there. So this was the last match of the French captain. This is a football match only. And then he was leading his team to glory. And then suddenly something happened. He got angry and he headbutted the Italian defender mattress and he was shown the red card. So what happened? You know, what could have been a glorious end to his career became an ignominious, a humiliating, disappointing end. So it is said, Benjamin Franklin was an American philosopher, scientist, scholar. He said, whatever begins in anger ends in shame. So this is the nature of habits. You know, he had the talent to be a great football player, but he did not have the habit of self-control. He exploded. And what happened? He lost everything. He lost what could have been a glorious ending to his life. That's why habits are extremely important. So, in this seminar, we'll discuss first what are habits, how powerful habits are, how habits are developed, and lastly, we'll discuss how habits can be changed and improved. Let's go ahead. Yeah. Yes. First, we make our habits. And then our habits make us. For example, you know, if we just decide we'll be a little, I'll sleep every day in the afternoon. For a little time, out of laziness or just for relaxation. Then what happens? It becomes a habit. It becomes a habit. And then, you go into a classroom also, you sleep in the classroom. So first we make our habits, then our habits make us. Go ahead. Now if we need rest, sleeping in the afternoon is, go ahead, next. If we need rest, that is okay. But we are talking about how habits control us. Yes. Go ahead. This is the overview of what we are discussing. Yeah. Yes. So I was telling these two things. It's external and internal. Externally, habit is a practice that is hard to give up. A behavioral pattern that we become almost conditioned or addicted to. And more than that, it's a mental attitude. So the story of the thief who, now all of you have come for a camp, so like that, you know, the people in the city, they all went for a pilgrimage. So he also went with them. But he had the habit of stealing. So he just couldn't get up. Now he started stealing. But then he thought that, oh, I'm in a holy place, I should not steal. So what he did, that conditioning was so strong that he took people's possessions from one bag and put in another bag. Took from second bag and put in third bag. He had to do something with the things. And next morning everybody woke up and everybody was wondering, oh, where are our possessions? Where are our possessions? And then he admitted. He said, I'm sorry, but I have this habit. So I couldn't help it, so I did this. So actually there was a British king, I think Louis the 18th. You know, he was the king of England, but he had the habit of stealing shoes. So he would be sitting on the royal throne, and anybody would come in his palace, he would see where are the thrones, he will go and steal the thrones, steal the shoes. So what does he need to see? It's habit. It's habituated. People have kleptomania. Like that, there are so many things which habits sometimes make a fool out of us. Go ahead. Yeah, as kleptomania, the king of England. Yeah, go ahead. So now, as you know, habit is like a dog's tail. Now Chanakya Pandit says, what is the nature of a dog's tail? He says, no matter how much effort you put, it doesn't become straight. And he says, it stays twisted, but even by its twisting, it doesn't cover the private part of the dog. So it is twisted, it doesn't become straight, and even its twisted stage doesn't do any good use. Like that, our habits often twist us. Go ahead. Yeah. This is how the ropes of habits are formed. So now, this is a small exercise for all of you. You can think about it yourself. So, now you are staying in a hostel with many other boys in your college also. So think of different kinds of bad habits to which we are susceptible. You know, there can be simple bad habits. There are small things, say something like, say sleeping too much. It's not going to cause the end of the world. But it is a problem. Or there can be very deadly bad habits. For example, somebody get addicted to drugs. And something might be a average, little serious but not a deadly bad habit. So you can write down and then I'll ask you. You have 5 minutes, you can discuss with your partner also if you want. You write down some habits, which simple bad habits, serious bad habits, and really grave, lethal bad habits. Then you can have 3 minutes, and after that I'll ask some of you. You can tell what you wrote. Yes, last 30 seconds. Can write down some things. Whatever you feel. You can write from your own life or you can write from what you have observed in your friends or other acquaintances in society. Thank you. So, any of you like to share any bad habits? Simple. It's not necessarily that you yourself may be troubled by these bad habits, but the idea is we want to understand how bad habits work and how it's not something which is irrelevant to our lives, but highly relevant to it. Yes? Whatever you have written, you can tell. Who would like to tell? Yes, please. You can tell some simple bad habit. Then somebody else can tell serious. Then lastly, great. Yeah. Not responding to anyone? Oh, yes. You know, if somebody asks us something and we just act as if we are not hearing, not responding, then what happens is, then we can't develop the relationship. Either people misunderstand us to be unsociable, or they misunderstand us to be unintelligent, both of which are bad. Now it's not going to cause any serious problem, but it is a mild, but it is a bad habit. Yes, a serious bad habit or a grave bad habit. Anyone? Yes. listening to fast songs, means western songs. Yeah, actually this rock music, there was a Japanese scientist Emoto. He wrote a whole book called, not one, several books, it is called Message from the Water World. So what he demonstrated is that, I got a video on this also, you take water and expose it to music and after that crystallize the water. And then he showed that depending on what sort of stimulus you are putting to water, the crystallization happens in different ways. So if you expose it to passionate music, then what happens? And the crystals are very malformed. On the other hand, if you expose it to devotional spiritual music, very beautifully formed. Now our body is made 70% of water. It's a serious thing, yeah. So you can even, at a practical level, it can damage our ears. At a deeper level, it will damage our minds. Any other? Postponing. So you know that traditional saying is, kal kare so aaj, aaj kare so kab. So what is the opposite of that? Aaj kare so kal, kal kare so parso. Itni jaldi bhi kya hai, jab jeena hai barso. So the point is that we may not live for many years. Procrastination is the thief of time. Therefore, yes, postponing is a very serious problem. It may appear to be small, but what happens? You can postpone, but a time comes and you cannot postpone. You can postpone studies, but an exam comes, you can't postpone studies anymore. Then the whole load comes heavily on us. Any other bad habits? Yeah, somebody else? Yeah? Like? Yeah, smoking. You know, George Bernard Shaw said that at one end of a smoker is fire, at the other end is, at one end of a cigarette is fire, at the other end is a fool. So it's like that. It's very serious. Sometimes they advertise cigarette smoking as, it's cool. You're a fool. You know, how can fire possibly be cool? But that's the insanity of modern advertising. Anything else? Yes? Abusing. Teasing others. Yeah. Actually, you know, sometimes people feel themselves very intelligent and expert when they can tease others, be sarcastic. But the problem with that is that we needlessly hurt people. And when we hurt others, eventually people will hurt us. Actually, objectively speaking, finding faults in others, speaking harshly about others, requires as much intelligence as finding water in the ocean. Now, how much water does the intelligence require to find water in the ocean? Water is everywhere. So, like that, everybody has faults in this world. So, it is said, Kaler dosho nidhe rajan. It's an ocean of faults. So, by finding faults in anyone, we don't do any good in it to anyone. Actually, it's only when we find good in others that we encourage others. And the wonderful thing is that if we help to bring out the good in others, we bring out the best in ourselves. And if we bring out the bad in others, we will bring out the worst in ourselves. That's the choice with us. Anything else? Sorry? Connect? Yeah, addiction to TV and television, yes. Actually, at a practical level, television may lead to no vision or low vision. Why? Because the eyes get damaged. At a more serious level, the mind gets damaged. Terribly, creativity gets lost. So, it can be a serious problem. Yes, anything else? Rash driving, yes. Or rather, in Pune, we have got very intelligent, I come from Pune, but very intelligent traffic signal, the traffic police have put very nice notices over there. So, one of the notices they have put is, so they have put, you know, this person is talking on a mobile while driving a bike. He says, hello. So this other person is, this is Yamraj speaking. So he says, oh no, wrong number. No, it is the right number, I am coming. So, all of you know Yamraj is the god of death. So like that can be very, very dangerous. Anything else? Yes?
Ego.
Ego, yes. Always speaking about ourselves. And not only speaking about ourselves, but speaking in a very bragging way. See, actually, that really puts off people. Because you cannot, so there are people who are called egotists. You start talking with them, you see, you know, last time I had gone for a picnic, it was so nice. Oh, you had gone for a picnic? I had gone for a picnic here, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened. So these people, actually, they are it's called autobiographical hearing. They are not hearing us, they are hearing their own minds. And they start speaking. So it's very difficult to develop relationships with others if we keep boasting about ourselves. Very good. And one or two more? Yes? Loudly? Yes, if you make some promises, we don't keep them. See, all of us want that other people should trust us. Other people should take us seriously. But if we don't take ourselves seriously, how can others take us seriously? Why will others take us seriously? So, you know, if we make promises, more than the promises to others, the promises that we make to ourselves we should keep. Yeah, I'm going to wake up at this time. I'm going to do this. When we start giving our promises to ourselves, then we will be able to keep our promises to others. Okay, good. A few other bad habits which I would say, yeah, last. Yeah, I would say beating. You have ragging in your costume, isn't it? Terrible it is. But somehow, what happens is, it's like a perverse tradition. So there are good traditions and there are demoniac traditions. So those boys who get ragged in the first year, they decide we will pass on the benefit to the next year. It's not the benefit, it's the evil. That's very bad. So it can be, to elders it's even worse if we do it. But even to juniors we should not abuse. You know, when Kaikeyi tells, Kaikeyi is asking Ram, Dashrath, that please send Ram to the forest. So at that time Dashrath Maharaj is so heartbroken. He says that actually Ram is so virtuous that I have not heard complaints about him from anyone at all. Not even from his immediate subordinates. That means, you know, if we want to chastise someone, whom do we chastise? People whom we have control over. But you see, even people whom he has control over, even they don't complain about him. He's so saintly, so virtuous. Yeah, so speaking harshly can be a big problem. Few other bad habits could be, especially nowadays we are having internet. Internet is there, so just wasting time in too much surfing. And then surfing you can go to chatting, SMS has become addiction sometimes. And then there are so many things like you play video games. Video games take so much time sometimes. And you know, people just sit on their chair and they think that they are big heroes shooting some images in the video screen. But it's a great illusion. And even more dangerous can be going to pornographic sites. Because that gives a little pleasure initially, but afterwards those images stick in the mind. And whenever we see these sort of images, they have a sort of mental glue which stick in the mind. Once they stick in the mind, we can't think of anything else. You want to study, but you'll not be able to study. Trying to open the book and read, and all those images are coming in the mind. And we may think that there is some enjoyment there, but the enjoyment is very little. Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita describes, in the 18th chapter, verses 37 to 39, he describes different kinds of pleasures. So in verse 38, he describes the nature of this verse, this sort of pleasures. Vishayendriya sanyogat yattad agre amrutopamam pariname vishamiva tat sukham rajasam smritam. So that which tastes like nectar in the beginning, but poison in the end. So, now initially going to these sites may look very, there is so much titillation that comes. But what is that titillation? That titillation is just a stimulation of our own hormones. And once those hormones get exhausted, there is no more titillation. Just the imagination of the mind. And then what happens? There is exhaustion, there is frustration, there is irritation. And not only is the time when we do that get wasted, but afterwards, those images stay for a long time and they keep haunting us. Haunting us. Therefore, these are bad habits. Now, conversely, we can also think about good habits. But here we are talking about the power of habits.
So, you know, nature teaches us practically everything that we need to learn in life. So, in nature, there is a spider and there is a butterfly. Now, if you see, the spider makes a net and catches others in the net. But there are other creatures, what do? They make a net from their own mouth, and that becomes like a cocoon around it. You know that cocoon? Inside it gets trapped. It gets killed. So like that, you know, we only produce our habits. So if our habits are like a spider, then we tap the power of habits. If our habits are like a cocoon which enslaps and traps us, then we don't tap the power of habit, we are trapped by the power of habits. So the difference is one R, tap or trap. And how to change that, we will discuss. Let's go ahead. Yeah. So habits are addictive. So see, this is a good habit, this is a bad habit.
Hello.
The mind is peaceful and gentle. The mind is wild, agitated. So now if you see, just go behind. No, go behind please. You notice this about habits? Go behind fully. What happens is, you remove a H. What remains? A bit remains. You remove a bit remains. Then you remove B, still it remains. So it doesn't go away. The habits don't go away. Every smoker has given up smoking many times. And still is a smoker. Because habits don't go away. Yeah, they're addictive. Go ahead. Yes. Habits are first cobwebs, then cables. You know, cobweb means, tuck, you just do like that, it will break. But cables mean, you cannot break it only. So, actually, one very good example to illustrate this is a snowball. You know, when the snowball is being formed on top, it is very small. At that time, you just put that, kick it with your leg, it will break. But as it keeps going down, 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 what happens? It keeps accumulating more and more snow. And by the time it comes down, what to speak of kicking it with a leg, it can crush a whole person under. Snowball can become so big. It's the same snowball. But that is what happens as it goes down, down, down. So like that, the habit starts with a simple act. Or just a simple thought. At that time, to say no to the thought or to say no to the act is easy. But if we keep saying yes to the act, then over a period of time, it becomes so strong, you just can't give it up. It crushes us underneath. See, many people feel that habits are not difficult to give up. I can give it up whenever I want. But the real problem is, when we try to give up your give it up, then what happens? We find that I don't want to give it up. It has caught us and it has trapped us. So we'll discuss a little later about how to change. But first we have to understand the grave implications of the habits. Go ahead. Yeah. So how do habits grow? Yes. So first we have a thought. This is a snowball effect I'm talking about. First we have a thought. From the thought comes the action. So all of us probably came from good backgrounds where our parents protected us from bad habits. But then because we see so many movies and so many things, maybe there's a daredevilish curiosity. Maybe I want to drink sometime. So that thought is there in the mind. So I once wrote a poem. You know, people, you know, so in movies they say cheers. So what is this cheers? Actually, their hearts are filled with fears. Their minds are pierced by desires. They are on the verge of tears. And they say, cheers. It is a show. Actually, they are not happy. Their hearts are filled with desires. I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. And all of them are agitating them. And then, not only when we want more and more, there is anxiety. Their minds are pierced by desires. I want this, I want that. Their hearts are filled with desires. Their minds are pierced by fears. And what will happen to this, what will happen to that? They are on the verge of tears. because of fears and desires, they are on the verge of tears. And they say, cheers. It's all a show. There's no happiness. As one of the books I wrote, the title is, Smiling Faces, Crying Hearts. They have smiling faces, but they're not happy. Their hearts are crying. So anyway, so that daredevilish curiosity might be there. I want to see, how does it, I have to drink once and see. So one thought comes. Sow a thought, you sow the seed, and what happens? It will reap. It will become an action. Then, go ahead. Once we do an action, it becomes a habit. We do something, it becomes, catches hold of us. We do it again and again. Then after that, we sow a habit, then it becomes our character. And once we have a particular character, that becomes our destiny. Destiny means our future. So that's what we will be in future. See, nobody starts drinking thinking that I want to become a drunkard. Nobody wants to. But once somebody becomes a drunkard, they just lose out on so many opportunities in life because they have no control over themselves. Go ahead. Yes. So now, this is a practical history about in America about how degradation took place. So Dr. Benjamin Spock was a psychiatrist. So of course, now he's a psychologist. His idea was that actually, children should not be abused. It's correct, children should not be abused. But what was the idea of children not be abused? Is that children should not be punished by the parents, children should not be disciplined by the parents. Children should be allowed to do whatever they like. Now, how many of you, sometime in your life, your parents forced you to study? You didn't want to study, maybe it was in school, junior college, secondary, primary. Your parents forced you to study. It happened to any of you? Oh, all of you are spontaneous lovers of studies? No, everybody practically, isn't it? If our parents don't force us to study, we will not study. But because your parents forced you to study, so now you have got into a good college and you are having a good career. So yes, children should not be beaten, but some amount of discipline is required. If there is no discipline, then what happens? The children grow up without learning any discipline themselves. And then they became completely frustrated. So this person, he said that, you know, if we punish children when they misbehave, then what will happen? That will affect them psychologically and they will become bad people. They will become depressed, they will get inferiority complex, so you should not punish them. Actually, he decided not to punish his son. But what happens is, if children in childhood, they are given everything they want, whatever you want you do, and will not discipline you, then what happens? When they grow up in life, we can't always get what we want. You know, the child says, I want this toy, I want this mobile, I want this gadget, I want this gadget, you see. And then they're just used to saying yes, they go to college and they say, I want this girl. And the girl gives a big slap. And they can't take no. And they take a gun and shoot themselves then, or shoot the girl. Whatever. So this dog, Benjamin Spock, his own son committed suicide. So one of my friends, he was in America. So he had a son. So this why he decided, you know, my, like I was telling about this other devotee, who has now become a devotee, his daughter. So like that, his son, he saw that he is getting very spoiled. So he was talking with his wife, I think we should go back to India, because my son is getting very spoiled. So they were talking, and the son heard this. And like you have 100 in India, what is 100? Police number. So like that, in America, they have 900. That is child abuse number. And he called 900, and the policeman came. I said, what happened? Since the father was amazed, why have you come here? He said, no. Where is your child? Child? Oh, a child again. So he, the child told, you know, my parents want to take me away from America without informing me. This is child abuse. And actually the police came and put this person in jail for 1 month. And he felt so angry, you know. In our whole lineage, nobody has gone to jail till now, and now I had to go to jail because of my son. And then eventually, what they did after he came out of 1 month, that they, you know, when the child was taking some milk, they put some sleeping medicine in that. They put him to sleep and then they brought him to India. And then he came back to India and then he woke up and hey, how did you get me to India? He said, the father said, now you press 900. Nothing will happen now. So the idea is that the parents have to discipline. If parents don't discipline, then children will become completely undisciplined and eventually frustrated in life. So what happened? They said, okay, children, whatever they want, they can do, we should not discipline them. He said, yes. Then what happened after that? This is actual American history. Okay. Then in America, they made a law that, you know, boys and girls, like my brother is studying in America. So when he went for a college over there, you know, when he entered the college authorities gave them two things. The I-card and a condom. The college authorities officially gave this to him. He was so shocked. You know, he's from a cultured Hindu family, Hindu Brahmin family. He was so shocked by that. But what they said, oh, as it is, you know, boys and girls are going to do these things. So they made a law, at least earlier, you know, see, abortion should never be done because there is a child over there. There are documentaries done showing how it's a living person over there. But they made a law, not only can abortion be done, but abortion can be done even without telling the parents. They said, girls can do abortion without telling the parents. So they said, okay, we should have freedom. Then? And they said, oh, boys are going to be boys, boys are going to do this thing. So, in the college only we should give them condoms. And then they said, okay. And then what happened? Then they said, okay, whatever we do in our private life, it doesn't matter, as long as we are doing our job well. So, you know, a former American president, you know, he sexually violated one of his secretaries. And still, nothing happened. People said, okay, he's doing his good job, let him do on. But what kind of good job can a president do if he is so uncontrolled that he wants to violate his secretary? Then he said, okay, no problem. Then what happened? And they said that, okay, let's print obscene magazines. And why are we printing these magazines? Oh, actually this is beauty. You want to appreciate beauty. See, you can say that you want to appreciate beauty, but that beauty doesn't create beautiful thoughts in our mind. And seeing that beauty creates dirty thoughts in our mind. So they said, okay. And then what happened after that? So then they had, this actually happened from 1950 to around 2000 in America. I said, let's have television shows, violence, sex, rape, murder. Let's have music like this. It doesn't matter. Why? Because it's all entertainment. If people want it for entertainment, let them do it. And now what is happening? Now we are asking our children, why our children have no conscience? Why they don't know right from wrong? And why it doesn't bother them to kill strangers, their classmates and themselves? Many of you may be aware, like I think 4 years ago there was a shootout in America, in Virginia Tech. So what happened was, about 12 years ago, there was a school in a place called Littleton. So in this Littleton, the student came to class and he sat down in the classroom, and as soon as the teacher came in, he took out a gun, shot the teacher, shot his other co-students indiscriminately, and shot himself. So it shook the fabric of American life. And then after that, it kept happening again and again and again. And then about 3-4 years ago in Virginia Tech it happened. Virginia Tech is an Ivy League university. Like in India we have IITs, like that in America they have Ivy League, top universities. So there it happened, and in fact one Indian girl and one Indian professor were also among those who were killed over there. So now in school children are going with guns and they're shooting. And they don't feel anything about it. So they just shoot. So what has happened is, see, there is a good side within us and a bad side within us. So what happens is, in the American culture, in the name of freedom, they decided not to discipline or regulate the bad side. So what happens is, every time we do something wrong, there's a traditional concept of a good dog and a bad dog. There are two dogs within us. Whenever we want to do something good, there's a good dog barks, come on, do it. And whenever there's something bad, we want to do the bad dog says, come on, do it. So these two dogs are barking. And every time we do a good activity, it's like feeding the good dog. And every time we do a bad activity, it's like feeding the bad dog. And what happens? Whichever dog we feed, it becomes stronger. It barks louder. And the more it barks, the less the sound of the other dog is heard. So like that, the small
bad dog barking, what is it? Okay, the children are behaving, misbehaving, don't discipline them. That means let that bad dog be barking, don't curb it. Then those same children go and they have illicit sex, oh, don't stop it, give them condoms. And they same go, the girls, they are also doing it, oh, no need to do abortion, let them do it. And then those same people go and shoot others. Now the bad dog has become so big, you should not shoot others. Nobody is ready to listen. So what starts with a small thing, it grows bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And we can't stop it. When the snowball is coming down, it becomes very, very difficult to stop. So India as of now has not become very westernized, although it is rapidly becoming. But as I was telling in the morning class also, that the television shows us only the rosy side of the Western culture. And the television, the movies, they will show the enjoyment, the opulence, the wealth, the technology. That's what it show. But all this has a flip side, the very bad side which it doesn't show. When the Ramayana, Sugriva tells Lord Ramchandra, he's assuring Lord Ram that Ravana has abducted Sita, but Ravana can never enjoy Sita. He says, Ravana cannot enjoy Sita just as a person cannot digest poisoned food. If some food is delicious, you may eat a lot. But if it is poisonous, can we digest it? No. As long as it's stung, it is delicious. It goes in the stomach, it will burn. We won't digest it, it will digest us. So like that, what happens is, the Western culture, at the superficial level, it looks very attractive. So, but that's like somebody eating delicious food. But the food is not just delicious, it is delicious and poisonous. So, when the food goes down, it is going to burn. Like you see so many movies show so much romance and enjoyment between the hero and the heroine. But, you know, so many people get AIDS because of that. And AIDS is one of the diseases, so many other diseases which result. How many movies show that? And even if they make a few documentaries about that, how many people watch that? So, all this has a flip side which is not shown at all. And that's why, eventually in the long run, people become very, very frustrated. That's why these bad habits have to be nipped in the bud. And the Western culture which is there, we have to know that beyond what it shows, there is something much more dangerous, which will trap us. So this actually happened in the West. Now, in schools, in many schools, at the door entrance there is a metal detector. Is the child carrying a gun? Child carrying a gun? What kind of culture is this? Go ahead. Yeah. Now what happens? Bad habits may feel good, as I was telling. But can somebody read this? What happens? Good, like, you have another mic? Let us set it up. Who would like to read? Yes, please. What is your good name? Rajavardhan. Yes. Rajavardhan. Can move a little aside here. Yeah. Coming? You can read loudly. You can move aside too. They are not able to see. Hare Krishna. So all these things we will lose. Purity of the mind, cleanliness of the body, vichara shakti, dharan shakti, all this gets lost. Go ahead. Yeah? Yeah? Who else would like to read? Can read? Yeah?
Yeah. Can read.
Changes of relative sex. Changes of growth and worship. A pleasurable romantic effect turns into a painful, fearsome nightmare.
Yes. What happens is, as I was telling earlier, there's a mental glue in this. They addicts our mind. And then we just get dysfunctional over a period of time. And when people get into romantic affairs, it may look sweet, but there are endless complications that come from that. So yes, there is a way to enjoy in life, but what is being portrayed as enjoyment is not enjoyment, it is actually suffering. And it causes suffering to the body, causes suffering to the mind, and causes suffering to the soul ultimately. Go ahead. Yeah, so what happened? People sometimes commit suicide when they become frustrated. They can't get along with it. Like, a few years ago, I keep traveling all over India, so I had gone to Warangal once. There, one of our professors, but the professor was also a spiritually minded person, so he was telling me a real story. There was this boy and girl who were in his class, and both of them were good students, but the boy was a very good student, and the girl was relatively average. So they developed a relationship. And he found that as the relationship became thicker and thicker, the boy's marks were going down and the girl's marks were going up. So he inquired, what happened? He found that just to please that girl, the boy was doing all her assignments. And then, they went 4 years, they were all like infamous in the hostel. They would go out on their bike here and there. In the fourth year, eventually what happened? The girl passed and the boy failed. And they were planning, as soon as we pass out, we will get married. So the boy told the girl that, no, you wait for 6 months, I'll just pass and then we will marry. Now many times when a girl appears a little loose and casual, frivolous, boys think very nice, I develop a relationship with her. But what they don't think is, if that girl can develop a relationship with me, she can develop with somebody else also. So what happened, that girl was good looking, she got a job in Mumbai at that time. And her boss became attracted to her, or she seduced her boss, whichever you want to look at it. And then, within 6 months, she got married to the boss also. And she sent a marriage invitation to her former boyfriend. And when this boyfriend heard this, he was so frustrated. On the same bike on which he would go all around, he went, Warangal is sort of, not a city, he went to the outskirts where there was a sort of jungle. He took petrol out from his bike, poured it on himself, and burned himself. So what happens? So therefore, you have to be very, very cautious. Yeah. Now, we may not think about meat eating as a bad habit, but it is a bad habit. At the now gross level, you're killing animals. It's very, very painful. Have any of you seen this video, Meet Your Meat? It's our volunteers can give you that video. It shows actually how the animals are slaughtered. How the animals scream in pain. It's very, very ghastly. So, the chickens, you know, because they have sharp beaks and they peck each other in the poultry. So what they do is, the live chicken, they catch it and cut off its beak. It's like somebody catches us and cuts off our nose while we are alive. It's extremely painful. So kind of torture that they do is horrible. So just for our tongue, we are causing so much pain to them. On top of that, you know, when we eat meat, the animals, when they are being slaughtered, they are in a state of great fear and anger. Fear that I am going to die now, and anger, why am I being killed like this? So those same emotions come through the food to us. And we also become fearful and angry by that. And so beyond that also, now we are not meant for non-vegetarian food. Our digestive system is very similar to that of vegetarians. That's why we get a lot of health complications. If anybody gets a heart attack, if there is a good cardiologist, he will tell the patient first, stop taking meat. 90% of heart problems and 90% of cancers can be avoided just by switching to a vegetarian diet. So even from a health point of view, from a mental peace point of view, from a compassion point of view, eating meat is a very bad habit. Yeah. We discussed about drugs. Initially it feels good. You know, sometimes people feel that, okay, I'm feeling bad, I'll get a little high by taking drugs. But if I'm at this mental level, drugs may take me here. or smoking or drinking, but afterwards it brings me down here. And then it becomes worse. They call it a hangover. There is a headache, there is vomiting. Very exasperating.
Go ahead.
There is instant gratification, but afterwards there is madness which results. No gambling. So what does gambling lead to? Nowadays gambling means, you know, we may not take a dice and gamble, but there are sophisticated ways to gamble. The government is only making a scheme like Khelo India Khelo and Kaun Banega Crorepati and all these things like that. So what happens by gambling? Who would like to read? Where is the mic? Yes.
Gambling leads to purchase, daydreaming, stripping us of the mental energy to utilize present opportunities. Second, becoming greedy to accumulate money. Find a debt, borrow, steal or even go to the extent of murder.
Yes. Once the greed is stimulated, there's no way to stop it. Yes. Go ahead. Next. Yes. Therefore, you know, bad habits does not mean that we give up some pleasure. Actually, it's not pleasure, it's suffering, but it's a little taste of pleasure initially. So we avoid those things which affect our body, our mind and our overall well-being. Go ahead. There are four things. Meditating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex. So, yeah. Go ahead. Now, changing the habits is not as easy as many people imagine it to be. Why? Because there is a mind. There is a conscious and a subconscious mind that is involved over there. So, you see, our mind is always going through different emotions. You can see the mind is restless. So, always it is up to something. Right now also you are sitting. All of us are sitting here, but you know our mind may go for a mental walk. It will not just go out here. You know, it may go to some cricket match that is going on, it may go to some movie, it may go to America, it may go to other planets also. Or it may go nowhere, it may just go to sleep. So what happens is our mind is very restless. And it is always going through so many different tendencies. And what happens? If the mind starts feeling, this is what gives me pleasure, then the mind remembers the pleasure and forgets the misery. So, sometimes when we do something wrong, a simple thing, we may overeat. And at that time, we feel nice, but afterwards, you feel so heavy, sleepy, lazy, good for nothing. You feel miserable. But then, next time when the opportunity for overeating comes, what does the mind remember? It doesn't remember the effect. It remembers only the good part. The initial pleasure. That's why the mind is very, very tricky. Sometimes people think that, okay, changing the habits is just, I just need to have more willpower. If I have willpower, I can change my bad habits. Let's see if it works. Go ahead. Yeah. Is willpower enough? So, here we are talking about Bhagavad Gita. You know, eminent scientists, philosophers, politicians, religionists, all of them have appreciated the Bhagavad Gita. So, can one of each one of you read one? You can read scientist. You can read the next one. Yeah.
Scientists like Einstein and Oppenheimer who quoted from Bhagavad Gita 11th chapter in the first Atom Bomb was dropped.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Yeah, Thoreau and Emerson were prominent American philosophers. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Martin Thomas Merton. Actually, he was a Christian, but he also appreciated the Gita very much. Go ahead. So let's see what Mahatma Gandhi said. Very beautifully said. When doubts haunt me, when disappointment stares me in the face, when I see not one ray of hope on the horizon, that means I'm totally, sometimes people say I'm depressed, frustrated, I'm totally disappointed. What happens? I turn to the Gita and I find myself smiling amidst overwhelming sorrow. Those who meditate on the Gita will derive fresh meanings and joy from it every day. So why are we suddenly talking about the Gita here? I was mentioning this point that is willpower enough to change our habits? Let's take a simple example. Suppose somebody has got loose motions. And he said, I'll use my willpower to cure my loose motion. So what does it mean? I will not go. I will not go to respond to nature. I will not go. Now is it simply torture? Is it going to cure? No. Simply torture and no cure. So, if there is a disease cannot be cured by willpower alone. A disease has to be cured by a therapy, a treatment. Now, of course, willpower is important because even to take the treatment requires willpower. And if I lose motion and I still keep eating opulent food and don't take the medicine because it is bitter, then I will not get cured. But willpower alone cannot cure a disease. Willpower coupled with treatment or willpower applied to take the treatment will cure us. Similarly, the Bhagavad Gita describes that whatever bad habits we have, those bad habits are caused by the mental germs. You know, science knows all about the physical germs. The physical germs are, you know, you have HIV, you have H1N1, you have dengue fever, mosquito, so many things are there like that. But there are mental germs. The mental germs are what we told in the morning. Lust, anger, greed, envy, pride and illusion. If you look at the world today, what are the biggest problems? You know, I write articles for Times of India for the Speaking Tree. So, I was talking with the editor. So, the editor is an elderly lady. She was telling how they started the spiritual column. Saying that actually our newspaper contains news mainly of three things. Death, destruction and deceit. Death, so many people died somewhere. Destruction, oh this bomb, this happened. And deceit, how there's this scandal, this scam. So, everything that we print will agitate the mind of the reader. So you want to have something that will pacify the mind. That's why we started a spiritual call. See, look, if you look at the world today, actually what is the major problem in the world? One problem is violence. Violent terrorism. Terrorism is one extreme, but others, in the home there is violence. Husband and wife, father and child. So, why is the cause of violence? It's anger. Another big problem is sexually related crimes. There may be rape, there may be child abuse, so many things like that. So all these are caused by what? Lust. And another big problem is corruption. Corruption is caused by greed. So if you look at the crimes in the world today, they are caused mainly by these mental germs. Lust, anger, greed. Now, just as the physical germs cannot be removed or cured merely by willpower, similarly, even the mental germs cannot be cured or eradicated just by willpower. The willpower has to be coupled with the process. Otherwise, by willpower alone, we'll simply get frustrated. We'll feel, maybe I just don't have enough willpower. But no, no matter how much willpower one has, willpower can't cure loose motion. If I got cough, I'll say, by my willpower, I'll not cough only. No, but how can one not cough? The cough is going to come. So, willpower is not enough to cure. Willpower has to be coupled with a process. And that process is the process of purification. So, that's why we are discussing Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is a book that guides us how to become purified. And that spiritual benefit is there. Along with that, the benefit on the worldly level is there. That one can, if one is depressed, one is disappointed, one gets positive spiritual hope. Go ahead. This is Einstein. When you read together, what did he say? Who would like to read? Yes? Yeah. Yes, Bhagavad Gita answers the big questions of life. Other questions are not so important. Go ahead. The first thing that Krishna teaches Arjuna is Dehino Smitha Dehe Kaumaram Yavanam Jaga. You are not the body, you are the soul. Changes our whole perspective, our identity. Go ahead. Now, let's look at the mind. Go ahead, next slide. See,
like you have a notebook. You only write in the notebook and then you have to read. So if you are sleeping in the classroom and then nothing written in the notebook, then you can't study for the exam. You write nicely, then you have the notes, you study and you pass the exam. So like that, we only write on our mind. And then whatever we write, that affects us. So the mind is like a notebook. Either I can write good or I can write bad. Go ahead. So now, our scripts means our tendencies. Where do we get our tendencies from? These are our external influences. Our books, movies, music, friends, all these influences. So if we change these, our mind will change, our desires will change. Go ahead. All of you know this principle, GIGO. Garbage in, garbage out. So like that, whatever you put into the mind, that's what will come out. Many times people wonder, why am I so short-tempered? Why do I get angry over small things? But then you will find that those people only delight watching the violence in the movies. If you see earlier, maybe 20-30 years ago, the movies were some action would mean bishum, 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 some fighting is there. But now, violence means there's a big building, boom! You become expert and people say, maza aa gaya. So what is happening? They are taking in more and more violent input. And then naturally, if you take in the input, the output is going to come out. They can't avoid it. Go ahead. Yes. So, how do we say no to our bad habits? Let's say yes to our good habits. The spiritual solution. So, we have to adopt a process. It's not just willpower, it's a process that is important. Go ahead. What is the process? So now interestingly, scientists themselves have found what is the process. So who we can have the mic? Maybe some of you can read one by one.
Alan G. Pony, Michael E. McGuff, G.A.P. and David B. Larson, M.D. Maybe Fortnite 2000 public experiment that tested the relationship between the religion and everything from blood pressure, heart disease, cancer and stroke to depression, suicide, psychiatric disorder and marital problems.
Marital problems. That means basically physical health and mental health. He said, okay, let's take people who believe in God, people who don't believe in God, and see whose mental health is better, whose physical health is better. See what happens. Next slide. Who would like to read? Yeah. So, on an average, believers have a longer lifespan. It's just like coming to a weekly program, we are increasing the lifespan by 7 years. Now, we are not telling you this, scientists are telling you. Scientific studies are telling us. Go ahead. But it's not just the quantity of life that is improved, even the quality is improved. Go ahead. Yeah, so bad habits were less among religious people as compared to non-religious people. Go ahead. Yeah.
Generally, people with deep personal religion, they have a stronger sense of wealth, being and life satisfaction than their less religious peers.
Yeah, so you may say not just bad habits. But some people, they may not have bad habits, but they are always dissatisfied. Oh, this is going wrong, that is going wrong. You see, sometimes when people become old, they become irritable. Because what happens, they are not able to eat nicely, they are not able to see properly, they are not able to hear. So they become frustrated. All that they were doing, they are not able to do now, so they are frustrated. But if they have God in their lives, and God is there in their heart, they can relate with Him. So, the sense of well-being and life satisfaction is more if people are religious. So the earlier side was of young people, now it is about older people. And next. So what are the conclusion of their book? Yes, that means, what is SQ? Spiritual quotient. So that means if one has faith in God, that faith benefits all people. It's like one medicine which works for everyone. So Next slide, very important. Yeah. Now on the other hand, people who don't care for God, who just go after materialistic pleasures, what happens with them? Yes, perpetually unhappy, always unhappy people become. Why? Because the desires are never fulfilled. They just keep increasing more and more. So on one side, their scientists are saying that you believe in God, you become healthy, you become materialist, actually you become miserable. Go ahead. This is a famous book, God the Evidence. Patrick Lyne, what does he say? Same thing, these people, they sound less prone to suicide, alcohol abuse. And then he said, he concludes this book by saying that, you know, if you, there is, nowadays there is life insurance, car insurance, house insurance, health insurance, so many insurance are there. But he said, is there something called bad habit insurance? Bad habit is like, you know, many parents, when they want to send their children to education, they want to have some financial arrangement for the education of the parents. But what about a bad habit insurance? So he says, bad habit insurance is religious faith. If you have faith in God, which is expressed through commitment to God, you are protected from bad habits. Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead. Same thing it is. Go ahead. Yeah. So he is saying in more difficult language, you see what he is saying? It is more difficult, it is to find a more consistent correlative of mental health or a better insurance against self-destructive behavior. Self-destructive behavior is a more refined way of saying bad habits. So, insurance against bad habits is what? A strong religious faith. Go ahead. Yeah. So, what is it? This Herbert Benson says, the human mind is wired for God. That means, human beings function best when they believe in God. And then Time magazine said that actually we have God on our side. If we look at the believers and non-believers. That means believers in general are more healthy than non-believers. Go ahead, next slide. Yeah. Go ahead, let's skip this. Go ahead. Yeah. Very powerful statement. When it, we can read this, who would like to read it loud and clear?
Glory at the beginning, first time, glory at the end.
Yes, what does that mean? It means for 200 years, 300 years, science or maybe there is no God, atheist. But now science is only discovering that believing in God is good for our health. It is good for our mental and physical well-being. So now we come to the last part, concluding part of our seminar. So, yeah, yes. So these are five factors, yeah. I'll just explain this. You can read them out once. Yes. So now, if you want to change our behavior, change our habits, first you have to understand what is it that affects our habits. So some people are short-tempered. And you wonder why you are short-tempered like this. So modern scientists say it's because of our genes. You know, these people have genes like this, so he's short-tempered. Yes, that's okay. The genes may push us, but they don't force us. Like especially in Western law courts, what happens if A has murdered B, then A's lawyer will first try to prove that he has not murdered. But if he's proven that he has murdered, then he will say that actually A's genes are such that he becomes violent. What can you do? And if you can prove like that from a doctor, then instead of putting him in a jail, they put him in some other treatment center to try to cure his genes. And he gets off. Now can I say like that? If we say that we are just controlled by our genes, you know, a boy sees a girl and attacks her, my genes told me to do this. There will be no social well-being. And what may happen eventually is that a brother may do the same thing with a sister, a son may do the same thing with his mother, and everybody says, it's just my genes. So our genes may push us, they don't force us. We can push back. Genes are one thing, yes, if I am short-tempered, my genes may be like that. But that doesn't mean that I am forced to behave like that. I have choice. It's one factor, a powerful factor, but it's only one factor. What are the other factors? Second factor is our upbringing. You know, if like in the West, people from the childhood, yes, drink meat, eat meat, drink wine. It's part of the culture. So upbringing, they get a habit like that. The third thing is association. So what kind of people we live? Many of us might have been protected in our home days, in our school days, junior college. But once you come in a hostel, and what happens? The association is very bad. The world of sin opens up to us. In spite of association, bad association, one can stay good. Because the fourth factor is our free will. We can still choose. And our free will can become stronger by God's grace. So, among these five factors, which of these can we not change now? Genes, we can't change. What kind of genes we have, that's all we have. What about others? Upbringing, we can't change it now. That's what it is. But what about the others? We can change. And among these, which is the easiest to change? Association. That's the easiest. Because to change our free will, to make our free will strong, is not very easy. But just to go in good association, it's relatively easier. And if we go in good association, the positive things happen after that. Go ahead. Yes. So this is the last slide. And what happens is, there are two things. First, we should know what is the right thing to do. And second is, we should want to do the right thing. So, to know what is right is a matter of intelligence. And to do what is right is a matter of intentions. So, our intelligence becomes strong by studying scriptures. That is Swadhyaya. And our intentions, or wanting to do right things, that happens by association. See, in the Mahabharata, Duryodhana is a personification of adharma, of evil. So everybody was telling him, right from Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, his own father Dhritarashtra, and even Suyodhana, Maitreya, Narada, all of them were telling, "Look, give the Pandavas their rightful kingdom. You have yours, they have theirs, you be happy." So initially you were a little influenced, maybe I should. But then, what was happening to him? Whom was he associating with? Dushasan, Shakuni, and Karna. And all three of them were very hateful of the Pandavas. So he himself was bad, but his association made him worse. So, because of his bad association, he could never see any good sense. Although he knew what was right. At one time, you know, he speaks a very amazing Sanskrit verse. Janami dharmam nachame pravrutti. Janami adharmam nachame nivrutti. He says, I know what is dharma, but I don't feel like doing it. I know what is adharma, but I don't feel like giving it up. So why does this happen? It happens because of association. So that's why intentions. If you want to change our intentions, we have to have our sadhana to be good. Sadhana means what? Like, you know, all of you did chanting in the morning, the holy name, that is sadhana. So when we do the sadhana, what happens by that sadhana? Our desires get changed. By hearing the philosophy, by studying the Bhagavad Gita, first, our intelligence becomes strong. Okay, this is what I should do, this is what I should not do. But even after deciding, this is what I should do, this is what I should not do, still the desires may not change. But that happens by sadhana. So, these two eyes are there. The intelligence and the intentions. And if you can change them, then we can change whatever bad habit might be there. And as you said, even good habits have a snowball effect. You start with a small thing, it will go bigger and bigger, and it will transform our life in a positive way. So at the smallest level, at the easiest level, what we could do to develop good habits is place ourselves in good association. We place ourselves in good association, from that point everything else starts. Just put yourself in good association and try to imbibe the qualities. Once you do that, then you will see miraculously how your life will change. I'll conclude with a real life story of a person whose life was completely transformed just by the power
of the holy name of Krishna. So, this is a person he was in the prison of America. We are doing preaching here. We do preaching in jails also. We have ISKCON prison preaching ministry. And they go to the jail and they try to reform the criminals in the jail. So, this particular young man was there in America, Chris Matthews. This Chris, in the 1980s, you know, he met some devotees in Atlanta. But then the devotees were traveling, they went away, and he also forgot about Krishna consciousness. Then, because of the typical American way of life, he got into drugs. He started with light drugs, and he got into hardcore drugs, morphine and cocaine. He became addicted. And generally, once a person becomes addicted to drugs, soon he starts robbing also. Because where will he get money for the drugs? He started robbing. At one time, you know, he broke into a shop to rob. And then he took a drug, had taken a drug, and he fell unconscious in the shop only. Then, when he came back to consciousness, he found himself in the prison hospital. Now, the owner had called the police. The police had rushed him to the hospital. And the doctors had battled for hours to save him from the jaws of death. Then eventually he was tried and sentenced to 10 years imprisonment. So at that time when he was sentenced, he was devastated. He had just married, he had two daughters, and he was thinking, I'll have to be away from them for 10 long years. He felt that. Why did God do this to me? I will never have anything to do with God. He was very frustrated. But then as he was living in the jail, he realized that he will go insane. Because many of the people in the jail were like brutal and very unsociable. So he felt, I need some spiritual shelter to keep my sanity. So there are many different organizations coming to do some reformation programs. So he attended some Bible classes in the jail itself. A few months that he attended, he didn't feel much difference. Then he in the jail library, he studied study from the Quran a little bit. He tried to practice some Zen Buddhism. He tried to practice some yoga. All this seemed to offer a little relief, but again, his main problem was he was already addicted to drugs, but there were no drugs available in the jail, so he was miserable. And after 2 years of trying out various things, he was as frustrated as before. At that time, from the depths of his heart, he called out, "Oh God, if you are there, please help me." No sincere prayer ever goes unanswered. A few days later, when he was attending a Bible class, the student sitting next to him, not a student, it's a prisoner, sitting next to him, he opened his Bible and there he saw a leaflet. That leaflet was of a Bhagavad Gita program conducted by the devotees over there. The program was already over, but there's an address for correspondence. He wrote on that address, and to his great surprise, he got a Bhagavad Gita by mail. And he read the Bhagavad Gita. He felt it was like a breath of fresh air. Things were so clear. So you are not the body, you are the soul. All your suffering is because you are trying to enjoy at a false level and are suffering. By turning towards God, we can all become happy. And the easy way to turn to God is by chanting the holy name. And he started chanting in the jail. In the jail, he became vegetarian. And there was a picture of Krishna on the Bhagavad Gita, so he started offering his food, the jail food that he was getting, to the picture and taking prasad. And he started thinking of his work in the jail, like karma yoga. Okay, I have to do some work, let me do it as a loving offering for God. And he wrote in his jail diary that although I was behind the prison bars, I felt more free than I had felt ever before in my life. Because now I was free from the sickening desires of my mind. I was free from those desires. And all the other prisoners could not but notice the difference. Here was a person, he was so irritable like all of us. Now he's so calm and tranquil. And then, when they asked him, how is he so peaceful? He told them about chanting of the holy names. And he became like an inspiration for the other people in the jail. Eventually, when he was released from jail, he went back home.
And after the initial courtesies, the first thing he did was, he taught his two daughters how to chant Hare Krishna. Because he said that, actually when they grow up, when they come into teenage years, then they will be caught by the passions of youth. And they should have some spiritual techniques to protect themselves. So I want to teach them chanting. But then he felt, I want to do something more in my life. I was there in the prison, I was suffering. And Krishna sent his devotees to me. So he got a divine inspiration. There are so many other prisoners suffering like me in the jail. Let me go and become a messenger of Krishna for them. And he started going to jail. He started telling about Bhagavad Gita to other prisoners. And now that same person who was just a few years ago, a prisoner in a jail in Atlanta, now he has become a prison minister for Atlanta. He goes around different prisons and he gives seminars and inspires people and transforms people. So, this is the extent, you know, science and technology has advanced a lot, but which technology can convert a prisoner into a prison minister? Well, that is his only spirituality. So whatever bad habits we have, we should never be discouraged. We should never think that this bad habit cannot be given up. And if we don't have any bad habits, if we feel that I have good habits only, then actually we can improve our good habits and make them better and best. Spirituality can always help us to empower ourselves. Even if sometimes we feel my bad habits are too strong, we should know that every day if we are chanting the holy names, we are becoming stronger and stronger and stronger. The stronger we become, then the habits will be overpowered one day. And we will actually be able to break free from all our negative habits and bring out the best within us, offer the best to the world, and thus realize all our potentials for our own good and for the world's good. So I'll summarize. We started by talking about what is a habit. I told the football story, the king's kleptomania story, the thief story. So habit are two things. One is a practice that is hard to give up. Second is a mental attitude. They are like cobwebs, they become cables. We discussed about mild, serious and grave bad habits. Then we discussed about how the basic principle of habits is garbage in, garbage out. Good or bad in, good or bad out. And then we discussed the very important point that just as disease cannot be cured just by willpower, habits cannot be transformed just by willpower. Because there are mental germs which have infected us. And they are impelling us towards bad habits. So willpower should be used to follow a process. And that process is the process of God consciousness. We discussed about how so many great people have studied and appreciated the Bhagavad Gita. So the power of God comes to us through His holy texts and through His holy names. We take this power of God, and remember the five factors which we discussed, we determine our behavior. Genes and upbringing are not changeable. Association is most easily changeable. And then by association, what can we do? We can get empowered. So the remaining two are free will and God's grace. So God's grace comes to us through the holy text and the holy name. And when we use these, then that God's grace empowers our free will. And how dramatic transformation can take place, we discussed from the story of prisoner to prison minister. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yes? Okay. So what we'll do now is, you can relax a little bit and then we will have some time for preparing the dramas. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.